host, Katie Coffrin, and I'm here to give you minimalist and simple living tips that will help you find your kind of minimalism. For day-to-day updates, you can find me on Instagram at howtobeaminimalist, and you can also email me at howtobeaminimalist@gmail.com. To find my books and articles, including freebies, check out my website, katiecoffrin.com. You can find the link in the details. And now, it's time for the show. Episode number 16, What I Wish I Would Have Known Before I Became a Minimalist. Hello everyone, it's just me today. We are visiting with some loved ones, and so I brought my mic, my pop filter, and all my stuff. I have this whole setup on my granny's 60-year-old couch, and it's kind of a funny little getup here, but it works. So that is what I'm up to right now, and that's why Josiah's not here, but it's kind of fun to podcast by myself sometimes, and I think it's also very valuable to have both of our inputs. So anyway, we're mixing it up a little bit. We actually have a new review this week, which I always have to say this because it is so true. I am so thankful for the reviews and the ratings. It just means so much to me. So if you can pop on to Apple Podcasts and leave a review and rating, you know, I'm giving you a hug over the internet or a high five, whichever one you prefer. So thank you. This is from @toad.and.cake, and it's entitled Continued Inspiration. It says, this podcast has been great for keeping me motivated on my minimalist journey. I love listening to it while I'm cleaning and decluttering. I just love that. I'm so glad that you guys are getting value out of the podcast. I feel like a broken record, but it's so true. It means so much to me. I honestly, when I began this podcast, I had no idea who or how many people would listen, and it just amazes me, and it just makes me feel so good that the things that I've learned and am passing on to you guys is actually helpful. I also wanted to go ahead and let you know two more items of business. First of all, I am continuing on with my How to Be a Minimalist book, my next one in the series, and it's getting very close. I'm about to send it off to my editors, and it's slowed down a little bit because we've been visiting, and so I was actually hoping that it would be off to editors already, but it's not, and so it's just a little bit delayed. And this is why I did not put a date on it, because I want to do it, you know, the right way. I want it all to be the best it can be. So I am looking for people who would like to leave a rating and review on any of them. It's great, you know, Goodreads, Amazon and Kobo, you know, all the usual places where you find ebooks and paperbacks in particular. But if you would like an ebook copy of a review copy, please email me at howtobeaminimalist@gmail.com. And when it's all ready and edited, I would be happy to send you an ebook version of the next book. And just in exchange, you'll leave me your honest review, and that'll be excellent. Also, I have been doing minimalist mini episodes, and right now I'm doing a spring cleaning series, and it's been really fun for me, and I hope it's helping you. I've gotten some feedback. I've gotten some messages on Instagram, which is at How to Be a Minimalist, if you want to find me there. But that is not being filed in with the regular podcast episodes. So if you hear me talking about these little mini bonus episodes that I've been launching on Thursdays, which I don't know if that's going to be a regular thing or not, but I'm just doing it for now because it's been fun. On Apple Podcasts, it says unknown season. The episodes are labeled as bonus episodes. They're not like necessarily numbered. I've numbered them personally, but it is not being numbered. They are not being numbered by Apple Podcasts, at least. And so those are just like in a different section. It's down below season one. And like if you go onto the podcast and you say see all episodes, then it's down below there. For my personal update, you know, I wanted to let you know, just as a reminder, one of the reasons why I do this personal update and include my goals for the year is because I practice minimalism to have more time for my family and the things that really matter to us. But I also practice minimalism so that I can do things like this podcast, so that I can write the books that I'm writing and working on. All of those things that I've been doing and working on, and my health and, you know, the photography that I practice, all that stuff has happened because I've simplified my life and I've really gotten rid of things that do not really hold value for me personally and also for my family. So that is why I try to illustrate to you guys by telling you what I'm doing with my goals and how my goals are going, because I hope that it either inspires you or, you know, gives you some ideas or whatever, so that you can too go and use your time wisely that you have created for yourself by practicing minimalism. I mean, just when you have less to take care of, you definitely end up having more time. And that's just one of the biggest benefits of minimalism and one of the biggest reasons why I practice minimalism. I've written more than 11 books, but I have published 11 books in the last 3 years. I believe maybe it's four now. I think it's three though. I think it's since, I guess it's like just over 3 years, because my first book I think was published November of 2016. I wouldn't have been able to do any of those things without having practiced minimalism. One of the things that I've been working on this week is reading my Spanish book, and I have continued to be pretty diligent about waking up in the morning and instead of going for my phone, I go for my Spanish book and then my journaling. And those are just two things that have really been improving my mind and making me feel really good and ready for my day. I just feel more sharp getting up and doing something productive than, like, you know, just kind of rolling over and grabbing my phone and seeing what everyone's up to on Instagram. Although that is one of my favorite things to do. I'm going to be the first one to admit it. I know it's not really that great for me. So I've been trying to change my habits. I also got a book, and I've been doing some research on vegan cheese making, because honestly, that's one of the things that I have missed the most in going plant-based the last year. And in the many years that I've been practicing being vegetarian and very much plant-based and trying to not eat very much dairy at all, I do miss cheese. Oh, it's so good on pizza and tacos, whatever. So the last about year, I've been playing around with vegan cheeses and I've had a lot of fun with that. Mostly I've just made sauces. I haven't really made any great firm cheeses, but I actually got a book on cheese making by Miyoko Shimmer, and I'm so excited. I will be showing you guys what I'm up to with that, and it's just going to be a fun adventure. But I think that's going to be my next book that I'm going to read, as well as The Boys in the Boat. And I can't remember the author, but I'm really excited to read that one too. That's kind of what I'm doing for my updates. Lots of just kind of taking care of my mind and my body and doing that through adventures and having a fun time. These goals take us to something interesting that I found on, messyminimalist.com. The article is called 5 Things I Wish I Knew Before Starting My Minimalism Journey. I really liked this article. I thought it was very insightful. The first thing she lists is that minimalism is really just a label, which we've talked about that. It's really about the way you feel and not necessarily what it looks like to everyone else, which is why you really should find your kind of minimalism. I know I'm always saying that as part of the title of my first minimalist book. Like, it really is important to determine how minimalism looks to you and the way it makes you feel and what it allows you to accomplish. She also talks about organizing isn't the same as minimizing. I'm so on board with that. One of the things that I love that she said is that permanent changes don't happen overnight. And that's her number 3. She says, Captain Obvious over here, but it's something I had to learn. And I learned it pretty quick. I could declutter for 15 hours straight and my space would look more messy than it did to start with. Raise your hand if you've experienced that before. You start pulling things out and then it's just a giant mess. I've done that before. She says, this is because I never realized the time and mental effort it would take to dig through old boxes or junk drawers. I call it the decluttering rule of thirds. Unlike the photography rule of thirds, which is visual, the decluttering rule of thirds has to do with time. It's simple. If you think a task is going to take an hour, then triple it. Seldom has a project gotten done ahead of schedule, at least for me. I just think that's such great advice. Just take your time, take it slow, and kind of figure it out as you as you go, and just remember it's going to take more time than you think it will. Her number four was one of my favorite ones, and it says, "You'll have setbacks." This one is the hardest thing for me to write about because it comes with a little dose of shame. There are times I declutter a space only to see it get filled up again, and it's such a downer. Sound familiar? I know this is common because so many of you have messaged me about it. Eventually, I learned a few techniques to help overcome this obstacle, but I still have setbacks, and you will too. A big part of it stems from being messy for so long, you just get used to setting stuff down wherever it's most convenient. I think that's so true. I think that we have, I don't like, you know, blaming society for things. It's so easy to do that. It's like, well, society is this way. Okay, no, not necessarily. But I do think that at least in the US, and maybe this is true elsewhere, but I find that there's a theme of people expecting perfection or that lightning strike right from the beginning. And it just is not the way it works. We have the whole two steps forward, one step back thing all the time in every single field. I would never, ever expect to play a piece of music on the piano better the first time than the way I play it the last time I play it. By the time you practice something, you become so intimate with it that you know certain notes and tones that you just want to bring out, and you know how you want to play it and make certain sections louder and powerful and other sections where you want to be really quiet and mournful, and just there's no way the first time will be better than the last time. I feel like when we expect this type of perfection from ourselves from the very beginning, we don't allow the process of learning, which is actually the most important part. And it's a problem, and I see it in so many different areas. For instance, my first books are not as good as my later books. I really believe that Mystic Connections is my best book, and it's because it's the last one that I wrote and published, and it's funny, and I know it's better than my first ones. It's just the way it goes. Don't be hard on yourself. Allow yourself to learn. Allow yourself to have those setbacks. And the way that we make those setbacks valuable and hold actual positive experiences in those, what could be seen as failures or negative experiences, is that we allow ourselves to take a moment and learn from what we did, you know, quote unquote, wrong. In taking that moment, I think we actually are able to inspect and determine, like, why we made those choices. Why did we have a setback? And then we actually can move forward in a positive way and in a lasting way. So this actually takes me to my number one of what I wish I would have known before I became a minimalist. I don't know which of these ones that I've got listed is actually the most important, but this one came to mind first. It would be taking it slow is emotionally healthy and creates permanent change. I'm so focused on habits that I know that if I do something a little bit more slowly and take my time and make efforts to do it the way I really want it always to be done, then it will become a really solid habit, and it's will eventually just kind of become a spinning plate that I don't have to worry about anymore. I might have to go and spin it every once in a while, but pretty much it's just going to do its own thing. I wish I would have known that when I first began to practice minimalism, because I had so many like false starts that it just was bad. I would revert, and it would be really a bad reversion, and it wouldn't be a quick return to minimalism. It would be a very long time and more things purchased, and it just was really not a good experience for me or my family. When we take minimalism slowly, we can really emotionally go through our issues. If we are having some difficulties letting go of things, we can ask ourselves, like, why is this hard for me? Why is this particular thing a difficult possession to get rid of? We can also say, okay, I don't have to deal with this drawer right now. I'm going to go and work on a different drawer and see if I can just handle it a little bit better than this one. And I can think about, though, why this particular drawer is hard for me. And in that way, you're being kind to yourself. You're allowing yourself time to learn about why you are wanting to hold on to certain things. And it's just more positive. It's just going to be a better experience. And those slower steps will create habits that will be lasting and will make it so much easier for you to practice minimalism long term. On to my number two. So on the topic of emotions, I have to say that I was so absorbed with how I felt about my things that I was extremely defensive and I didn't consider how my husband or my family felt about my things. They were my things and I just didn't feel that anyone else could have feelings about them. It was really unhealthy to deal with my possessions in that way. I really do believe that I was a hoarder, and I know I've said this before, but no one would have ever looked at me and thought I was a hoarder. But I believe that a lot of these things are the way that we feel inside, and also the behaviors and also the emotional aspects of it. When I look at the way I behaved now, I know, and I knew then, even though it took me a long time to say it, that I was a hoarder. I had those hoarder tendencies and I would try to hold on to so many things. I would let go of them, but I really would grip on to them. I did not have tons of stuff, like necessarily in comparison to other people that I knew, but I knew my heart and I knew what was happening and I could see where I was going. I was so caught up in the way I felt about my things and not wanting anyone else to decide for me whether I was going to keep something or get rid of something that I didn't even think about how my husband felt about my stuff. And my kids were young. They didn't really know what was going on necessarily, nor would they have really paid attention or been able to tell anyway. Like, I honestly don't think hardly anyone would have guessed that I was struggling with that because it wasn't obvious. Like a walk through my house would have not revealed to anyone like that, oh, this girl's a hoarder. She's about to become one. But my husband, it was hurting him. It was not good for him. And he knew and he was worried and he couldn't talk to me about it because I was too defensive. And I kind of mentally turned him into a monster. Like what kind of a person would, you know, try to tell me what to do with my things and stuff like that. And it's just, instead of looking to him for support, I kind of looked at him as an enemy in terms of my possessions. And I wish that I would have known that I could turn to him. And I wish that I would have just done that and risked the fact that he might have expressed some of those things honestly, which he had a right to do, even though he would sometimes tell me things that bothered him, but it was never like this huge thing. He was always so patient and kind about it, except for those few moments which we've talked about in previous episodes. But for the most part, as a general daily, you know, thing, he was really great about it. And I just wish that I would have looked at him differently, and I wish I would have looked to him for support. Had I known that I could take things slowly and really think about stuff, I probably would have had an easier time going to him instead of just being defensive. I wish I would have known that these possessions that I was holding on to was hurting him. And it was not helping our relationship. It was not setting a good example for my children. I wish I would have been able to look outside of myself more to see how those things were affecting my family. My number three would be that I was so defensive that I didn't look objectively at examples of minimalism and see what I could have instead of things. So I really turned into kind of getting critical of people that were practicing minimalism, whether they were on the internet or in books that I read or just people I knew, although I didn't really know any minimalists back then. And this was quite a long time ago that I'm talking about, probably about 10 years ago. And it's just, the internet is a different place now. It just is. And so when I would look at different examples, it was mostly from books and sometimes a magazine article here or there, a blog post, but it wasn't all so readily available. And I wish that I would have just gone and taken a step back from myself and how I felt and just been observant. I wish that I would have said, well, I really like the way this person has their schedule laid out. I wish I had that. And I probably would have noticed that they practice minimalism in order to get to that point. Or just, you know, that whole picking and choosing of things that you like that you see around you. It can really be a great way to create the lifestyle that you would like. I did not do that. I was very defensive and I felt very much an imposter, and it was bad for me, and I ended up reverting and turning away from minimalism and the minimalist progress that I had made to that point. So I wish that in retrospect, I could have just been more open-minded and realized, like, I don't have to do everything the way that these people do it, but what do I like about the way these people do things, and just have the confidence to go forward with what I saw would suit me and my family. My number four and final I wish I would have known would be that I wish I would have known that it was really important and good for me to speak up about being a minimalist. I've experienced this in many different ways, and every time I don't speak up about my values or standards, it always backfires, and I'm always just trying to be polite. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable, so I don't really say things. I've experienced this with my dietary choices, and in the last year or so, I just decided, you know what, I have to speak up. I have to tell people what I am and what I'm doing in a polite way. You know, I don't want to offend people ever, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, especially if someone has gone out of the way to do something for me and their intentions are really beautiful. I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but I also have conceded in so many instances simply because I wasn't willing to speak up and say, oh, you know what, I don't eat that way, or oh, I'm sorry, you know, we're minimalist and thank you for thinking of us for these hand-me-downs, but I just really, we don't need them right now, but thank you so much. You know, there are so many polite ways that you can turn something down. But I have found that the more that I speak up about being a minimalist and my dietary choices, the easier it is. And actually, it has another benefit. Not only do people begin to respect, at least in actions, what you are doing, but you'll find that people hold you accountable to it. And so I have had many people that had offered something to us, and they are very careful. They're like, well, I know you're a minimalist, but would you like this? And it doesn't happen all the time. We don't get a lot of offers for things, but I really appreciate people that ask. You know, we don't purchase very much stuff at all. However, we do still allow some things into our life. It usually means that we donate or ditch something out of our life so that the number of possessions are just kind of in flow. They're coming and going, sort of a situation. So I do appreciate that, but I also appreciate people that respect what I'm trying to do, even if they don't agree with it or they don't want to do it. That has been something that's been really beneficial, just speaking up, letting people know this is what I'm doing. I think it also goes back to that saying, I am, not only telling yourself, I am a minimalist, or I am a pianist. We were talking about that earlier, so I guess I've got that on my brain. If you say, I am this or I am that, it is empowering. It allows you to claim a little piece of that. You don't have to say necessarily, I am the best in this or whatever. Although if you want to become the best, then I probably would say that, because I really believe that when we have those positive thoughts in our mind, it just allows us to dream and problem solve and think in ways that we wouldn't if we were saying, well, I really suck at this. I guess I'm not really that. And that was my experience before with minimalism. I decided, well, I'm not living the ideal minimalist lifestyle. Whatever that is my side note. And so I quit and I gave up and I decided that minimalism had betrayed me, basically. Saying I am and telling people I am, it is empowering and it makes you make different choices. It changes your brain. It changes the way you think about that thing. If you keep on saying, I am a minimalist, you will begin to make different choices. If you tell other people, I am a minimalist, they will begin to make different choices around you. And it just is very interesting what will happen because you claim a little piece of that. My minimalist challenge for you this week is to go and get rid of 5 things, and either through donations or ditching or whatever you're going to do with them, consider how you really feel and ask yourself what makes you feel uncomfortable about getting rid of those things, and take your time and ask yourself how you can overcome those feelings. Maybe your check-in reveals that it's easy for you to get rid of those 5 things. And if it is, give yourself a pat on the back and congratulate yourself on that. And you can actually reflect on how you came to this place where it was just easy to get rid of stuff. I know now that when I go to the store, I used to want lots of things. I used to want all of the cute new dishes. I used to want craft supplies galore. Like, I couldn't get a Joann's coupon and not go and get at least a packet of buttons. You know, I loved coupons, and I had to get a little something. It's such a good deal. And then I would have something that I needed, and it would, you know, be supportive of my creative outlets. But you know what? Now I go into the store and I'm very overloaded by all the stuff that surrounds me. And I just want to get out of there. I want to get what I need. And I want to get out of there. And if I don't find what I need, I'm going to get out of there with nothing. And it's taken me so long to come to that place. But now that I'm here and now that I recognize it, it's like, yeah, I finally got there. It makes me so happy. If you are in that place where you see that it's not hard for you, give yourself a serious pat on the back. Like, just let out a good woohoo. If you do find that it's hard for you to get rid of those 5 things, really taking a minute to ask yourself why. It's a beautiful experience. It may be hard, but it's a wonderful thing to take a moment to explore your thinking behind it, your feelings, and to be able to learn from taking that moment is a wonderful thing, and it can benefit you and change your whole path going forward. I hope you have an excellent minimalist week, and don't forget to check in for a bonus episode on Thursday. And most of all, remember, it's all about the experiences, not the stuff. I know you have a lot of listening options, so thanks for spending your time with me. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review, telling a friend, or becoming a patron. You can click on the Patreon link in the description box to support the show for as little as $1 a month. I truly appreciate all forms of support. Thanks for being here.